Luke 12:13-21. It's a harvest parable. And I might be wrong, but I think it's a parable about someone from Essex. So look out and see why I think that, and see if you agree. So Luke 12, starting at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, that's Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" Did anyone else think that the man in the parable might be from Essex? He works hard and says, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But as we start, just a question. I'll put it to any of our young people first, and if you've got any ideas, you can put your hand up and answer. What do you think success is? What do you think doing well is? Can you think of an example of doing well? So any of our younger people? Rowan, what do you think? God will be the best. Good start. Probably don't need to do the rest of my sermon now. Right. Yes, good. What else is doing well, do you think? What does that look like? What do you think, Dylan? Listening to God? Yeah. How about at school? What's doing well at school look like? Listening to a teacher? Doing well in tests? Yeah. How about any grown-ups? Good job I gave a list then, isn't it, of what I think doing well looks like. So doing well, we might think money. Money's good. We can buy stuff with it. Status, so how people think of us. We might like people to think well of us or think we're important. Power, so we can get things done. Nice things, that's doing well, isn't it? If we have nice things. Winning, I like to win, whatever that is I'm doing, whether it's a sport or something else. Doing things well, some of you are musical. It's good to do what we do well, isn't it? How about living where you always wanted to? That's nice, isn't it, to live somewhere you like. Doing something you enjoy. If someone pays you to do what you enjoy, that's good, isn't it? Friends and family, having them. These are all good things. And to be clear, they are good things if you can get them. Now, in this reading, a man comes up to Jesus and asks for his help. And it's about an argument with his brother about ownership. And Jesus doesn't help him. Rather, Jesus warns him and tells him a story. And the story is a harvest story. But it's a story about harvest that's also a warning. It's about a successful man, a farmer, who does very well. So in the beginning of the story, verse 16, it says the land produced plentifully. Now why? It could have been his skill, it could have been luck. And then he has a development or an expansion program. He tells tears down the barns and builds new ones. You know, he updates his software, he improves his advertising, employs more people, he reinvests, he gets his face on the Financial Times or whatever it is. And the end of verse 18, he says, so he builds these new barns to store my grain, he's got so much, and all my goods. So it's not just the grain that he grows, it's also he's acquired more goods. Then what does he do? He enjoys it. Verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample good laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. He does the equivalent of making sure he's got the streaming subscription he wants. He's got the good mail order wine. He's got some good books. He's done up his house. He's booked a holiday. He's worked hard, which is commendable. And he's enjoying the fruit of his labor. He's not a mug. He doesn't just work. You know, until relatively recently, Hugo was a coach, a business coach, and the two problems seem to be is people who just worked and never enjoyed any benefit from it, or people who try to enjoy benefits without doing any work. Neither is a great way to go. This sort of person, I don't know if you get this from your school or college or university, wherever you go, and they give you update letters and they have someone who's a success. This is that man. They get their picture in, they've made it, they get interviews. Or maybe just someone you know, maybe lives at the end of your road, and you think, it may not be necessarily wealth, but there's something about them that you think, I wish I had some of that. And what's wrong with what they have? Well, as we look at these verses here, the answer is nothing. There's nothing wrong with any of that. The Bible says, God says, here are some good things, enjoy them. I made them and gave them to you to enjoy. So that's what we know about this man. What about what we don't know about this man? Now remember, this is a made-up story by Jesus to teach a point. But it's interesting what we're not told. We're not told if he was married or had children and how he treated them. We're not told if he had friends. We're not told if he went to church or the equivalent. We're not told what he thought about God, what he believed. We're not even told whether he did good or bad things, whether he was nice or moral. We don't know whether he treated women well or not, or anyone else. Now these are things that we normally think are very important, and some of them are very important, but Jesus thinks for the purposes of this lesson, they don't matter. But we're told something that does matter in verse 20. God says, you're a fool. Look at verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? How is he a fool? Looks to me like he's a wise farmer, an astute businessman who's made the most of what he has and is enjoying the profit. This is business 101. Well, two things make him a fool. First, because he lives as if he will never die, in verse 20. And secondly, because he lives as if there is no God, in verse 21. So he lives as if he will never die. Verse 20, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? The 23rd of May, 1937, John Rockefeller died. At the time, he was the richest man in the world. And in real terms, he's still one of the richest ever to have lived. At the time of his death, a journalist said to his lawyer, how much did he leave? And the lawyer replied, all of it. And the saying's true, isn't it? You can't take it with you when you go. And often in this life, we've seen this over the last few years, wealth can crash. You know, shares, house prices can crash. Currency exchange rates go the wrong way. Inflation bites. And so some people might think, well, you may as well enjoy what you have now then. And maybe that's right, if this is all there is. But what if there is more? Then what? What if you could make some minimal plan for that? And it may seem extreme saying this in front of children, but they, of course, know this, and what we have here is something that quiets our fears about death. But the truth is, most of us don't think about death. I suppose it doesn't cheer us up. But maybe the last week or two, particularly with the Queen's death, we may have thought about this more than ever. We tend to think of the Queen a bit like her palaces. They're just there. They've always been there. They'll always be there. And that's not true, as now she has, at a very ripe old age, passed on. Spurgeon said, we don't think, a famous Baptist preacher, we don't think about our deaths until either a popular prince or hundreds of ordinary people die. And in our news, we've seen both of those things, a popular queen and some ordinary people in disasters and wars die. And then we realise maybe we won't last forever, that we will one day die. And if we can make provision for that, perhaps we should. He's a fool because he never considered his life would end. He never considered what was next. So something for you to just ponder. Have you considered that? Have you thought for a moment you are mortal? Of course you know that, but have you really thought you are mortal? You're going to die. Secondly, he's a fool because he ignored God. Verse 21, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. We're not told, Jesus in his story doesn't tell us whether, what kind of relationship he has to church. Does he go to church or the equivalent, the synagogue? We're not told what he believed. But you could say he's a practical atheist. Do you notice as I was reading it, he says, I, me, mine. And the only time he says you is his soul speaking to himself. That he just talks about himself. What difference would, if he believes in God, what difference would God make to him? And it looks like none. If you were an atheist, this is an uncomfortable question, if you had a dramatic conversion to atheism, what difference would it make to your life? What changes would you have to make? How different would your life be? It's unsettling, isn't it? And notice, there's nothing wrong in and of itself with his wealth or his success or his planning or him enjoying his profits. In fact, it's good. It's a good thing. It's good to plan. It's good to make some kind of profit and provision for yourself so you don't depend on others. And it's good even to have enough that we can give so that others who don't have abundance can have what they need. But this man, what he has is the sum total. I, me, my. And he's not rich towards God. There's no thought towards God. He's pleased himself without a thought of what pleases God. Now what does it mean to not be rich towards God? It means for all his wealth now, he is poor eternally. There's no provision eternally. Where are you going to spend most of your days? Well, eternity. This life you're going to get, well, the Queen was 90, whatever she got to. Her husband made it to 99. That's not bad. That's a drop in the ocean to eternity is where you'll spend most of your time. Now, remember why Jesus told the story. A man wanted Jesus' help to sort out a property argument. And of course, there's a time and a place where you have to have these sort of arguments. But Jesus says, no, I'm not here for that. Get a solicitor for that. I'm not here for that. There are bigger issues, and that is, where are you sorting out eternity? Where are you going? Where is your treasure eternally? Now, a long time ago, I bought my first pension, and I bought it off a friend of mine who was a nominal Buddhist. And he had a number of Christian friends, and we'd shared the gospel with him a number of times. And he tried to sell me this pension, which he succeeded in doing. But he wanted to sell me all other kinds of cover for if I got ill or anything like that and couldn't work. And at the time, I was 23 and or thereabouts. And I wasn't too worried. Like, what are the chances of me getting that at 23? I don't have to worry about these things. And he said, Darren, these things do happen. And they do happen to young people. You never know. To which was my open goal of saying back to him, let's go over some conversations we've had about God. You are going to die. In his line of work, people work out the probability of something to know how much to charge you in insurance. Well, you don't need to be a genius at maths to know your probability of dying is 100%. Which I've said before, Christians, it's slightly higher because Lazarus and a few others had to do it twice. You are going to die. You don't have to work out the risk. And how, are you ready for it? How do you prepare? I once asked a funeral director I got to know quite well through doing some funerals. I asked him to a church event and he said, Darren, don't you think I spend enough time in churches? And I just went to the coffin that was standing between us and said, what are you going to do when you're in this? When you're in one of these, are you ready? You should know better than others where you're going to end. So it's no surprise that Jesus, in the next bit that we didn't read, goes on to talk about don't be anxious. Because once you've resolved this, your problems don't disappear, but you have a new perspective about life and meaning and everything. So when considering what you want, most people, I think, are aware that life isn't just about money and material things, but they still miss the big one. Are you rich towards God? Are you building credit with Him? Well, how do we do that? Well, the good news is you don't need anything to do that because He's provided what you need for that. We, in our natural state as we are now, are cut off from God now and are heading towards being cut off from all these good things forever. Not only that, to face the just penalty we deserve for our rebellion against God, that we've basically all, when it comes to God, we're all Republicans, we're all declaring our independence, so we face a penalty for that that would be just. But He pays our debt that we could never pay. In His death on the cross, He took what we deserved. He lived the perfect life that we didn't, and that's credited to us, that's in our account. So eternally speaking, He filled our barns and made us rich, so that we can eat, drink, and be merry with God eternally. Much better than we can now. All we need to do is admit that we're in unmanageable debt to Him and accept His offer, His good gift to us. So the question to each of you this morning is, are you rich towards God? Have you invested there with the very thing He's given you to? Or do you think this life is all there is? I guess the fact you're even here, you probably don't. Do you live as if this life is all there is? Will you face God as friend or stranger? Now, this life matters. Your job matters. Your things that you do that take up the week, they all matter. That's why we're giving this morning to Food Bank and to Pomoja. And things. It's good to help those whose barns are not full. It's good to enjoy the good gifts God has given us. But the next life is eternal. One day will be your last here. One day you will meet God. When you do, on what terms will you meet Him? Friend or fool? If you want to know more about that, well, obviously you can ask the questions for some of these Thursdays, but also hopefully later on in the term we'll run another Christianity Explored course and do ask, anyone else at church some more questions about that. But why don't I pray for us? Almighty God, we thank You for providing for what that we need. Thank You that You've given us enough to share with others. But we ask most of all we'd be rich to You, that we think about what we have in eternity. and we'd be ready to meet you not as fools, but as friends. And we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.